Greetings, everyone. Thank you for joining us today on the Mark Fraley Podcast. Today is February 4th, 2022. It's a cold day here in Nashville, and we have some ice on the roads this morning. The weatherman says we will be warming up over the next few days, thankfully. As always, thanks to Ron Trammell and the Cats Tribute Band for our intro music. Yesterday, I had the opportunity to sit down and have a conversation with Dave Anderson, the newly installed president of the Tennessee Recreation and Parks Association, TRPA. TRPA was first organized in 1952, and there has been a strong line of leadership over the years. Dave is presently Parks and Recreation Director for the city of Tullahoma, Tennessee. He assumed that role after many years of service with both Pigeon Forge and Gatlinburg Park and Recreation agencies. In Sevier County, he served with two TRPA fellows, Lanny Goodwin and John Wilbanks. Of course, this was a little poignant for me, in as much as my first jobs in Parks and Recreation were also in Sevier County. David and I talk about his career so far in Parks and Recreation, his ambitions for TRPA under his leadership, including a new young professionals interest section within that organization. We also talk about his current activities at the city of Tullahoma. And so I hope you'll enjoy this interview with TRPA President Dave Anderson. And our interview will get started right after this brief message.
Hi, this is Heather Lose, Editor-in-Chief of the Tennessee Conservationist Magazine. Every year, we publish six beautiful issues packed full of timely and informative stories about Tennessee culture, people, and places. You can stay informed about your world and all the great things happening in your Tennessee state parks. It's easy to subscribe. Just go to our website at tnconservationist.org. Thank you.
Dave Anderson, welcome to the Mark Fraley Podcast.
Hey, Mark, thank you so much. I appreciate you inviting me in today, and it should be a fun time for sure. I appreciate it.
Well, I've been looking forward to speaking with you. You and I first met back here in the fall, and I've noticed, you are the new incoming president of TRPA. And so I decided to, and I spoke with you about it then, that we needed to get together and have a conversation about what's going on with that organization.
Absolutely.
So you have recently moved, and you're coming to us today from Tullahoma, Tennessee.
Correct. Yes. I spent about 20 years in East Tennessee, working in Parks and Recreation there. And the end of October, I ended up accepting the Parks and Recreation Director job here in Tullahoma. And it's been a wonderful experience so far, let me tell you.
Well, I was looking at your resume, and we have so much a common experience in our resumes. I had to laugh. 1976... Is the year you were born?
That's right.
Okay.
That's right.
So in 1976, I was Parks and Rec Director in Gatlinburg.
Oh, wow.
And that was my first year there. And we had the first, well, it was the 200th, it was the bicentennial, right?
Sure. And, that's right.
And so we had at midnight on July 4th, we had a parade in town. And that was the very first of the parades in America to celebrate the bicentennial. So, some years later, you arrived in Gatlinburg.
That's right, and that's still going on today as the first parade for July 4th in the country.
Well, that was the first one that we had, and I dressed up as the Gatlinburg Bear and walked in the parade.
That's great.
Which was fun until some Yahoo threw some firecrackers at me as I was going walking up the parkway.
That would not be super fun. I never actually ended up doing the 4th of July parade. We participated in the Christmas parade. So I dressed up in a tux and a top hat and led the crowds in YMCA on the city float. So that was my experience with our parades. But
so how did you get? How did you grew up in upstate New York? Is that right?
No, it was actually in between Toronto and Buffalo.
Okay.
So I am a huge Buffalo Bills fan for upstate New York, but yeah, it was in between Toronto and Buffalo. I was born in Montreal. My dad's Canadian. He was a hockey player.
I see.
He was a goalie for the California Golden Seals, and that was an expansion team in the NHL. But he grew up and started as a Syracuse Blazer, which is a member. They were a member of the Eastern League Hockey League.
Sure.
That's where he met my mom. My mom was from Long Island, New York. So when I was born, I mean, she kept her American citizenship, so I was American at birth.
I see. I got it.
That's where my childhood was up in Toronto, or just outside of Toronto. It was actually in Oakville, Ontario. But I knew I wanted to come down south to play baseball. I was a baseball player. I played hockey as well. I wasn't nearly as good of a skater as my dad was. Now, my dad was a goalie. But yeah, I was better in baseball than hockey. So I knew that was going to be my path for university. And then I ended up choosing Lincoln Memorial University.
In Knoxville there.
It's just outside, yeah. It's in the Cumberland Gap area, right where Tennessee, Kentucky, and Virginia meet up.
Okay.
That's right, yeah. It's in Harrogate, Tennessee, which is a tiny little town, but the campus is absolutely beautiful.
You know, I was confused because I saw Harrogate, and I thought of Farragut, which was it's a completely different place. So
yes,
I do now understand where you are up in northeast Tennessee.
That's right. And so I played baseball there and went to school from 95 to 99. I got my degree in phys ed and health. I just loved the East Tennessee area and decided to start my career here. So I graduated in 99 and then in 2001, I was taking some, but in between those 2 years, I was taking some master's classes. I was looking at either doing recreation or education. My dad was a parks and recreation director in Vermont, in Middlebury, Vermont, for 15 years. That's where he ended his career. And then my mom was a teacher. So I was debating between going into teaching or guidance and counseling or becoming starting my career in recreation. And I decided to stick with recreation. And so I started my career in Pigeon Forge, actually, under John Wilbanks, and started there in 2001.
So you have had the experience of working in Pigeon Forge for two former fellow award winners.
Correct.
Yeah, so John Wilbanks, who we've interviewed on this program some months ago, John is a long tenured person in Parks and Recreation, and
absolutely.
And Lanny Goodwin is currently the Recreation and Parks Director there in Pigeon Forge.
Correct. They're almost our forefathers of TRPA. John and Lanny both have been very instrumental in our procedures, in our code, and I mean they were really an integral part of the development of TRPA for sure.
Well, and then and of course in Lanny's, it's to make this connection even more bizarre. Lanny used to be the Parks and Recreation Director in Tullahoma, which is That's where right. I first met him back in the early 80s sometime.
Correct. So. And it was an interesting connection, and I knew he had been the director here in Tullahoma, and that kind of piqued my interest when the director position came available. I thought, you know what? I think I'm going to go for this. And it's turned out very, very well.
And who had been the director there preceding you just most recently?
Most recently was Kurt Blitt. He had been in Parks and Recreation for about 30 years. I think he'd been the director here for about 16 or 17.
I don't think I ever knew him.
He was looking to spend some more time with his family. And his
I see. I understand. So then you moved to Gatlinburg and was the director of the new community center there in Gatlinburg.
Well, I was... I started in Pigeon Forge. I ended up being the program director. So I was in charge of the programming there. I stayed in Pigeon Forge for the first time for a little under a year. And then I spent a little over 15 years in Gatlinburg as the program director. So I was working under Marty Nicely,
right.
who was the director there for a long time.
Right.
Then Sally Warden was the community center manager.
Yeah, so Marty... Marty was the fellow that became director immediately after I left there.
Correct.
So I was director in Sevierville for a short period of time, and so he was in Gatlinburg. I was in Sevierville. We did things together. Pigeon Forge didn't have a program for quite a long time. So,
and the community center wasn't built until 2000 in Pigeon Forge.
Got it.
So you had already left and gone on.
Oh yeah, yeah. I left Sevier County in 79.
Oh wow.
So okay. Yeah, and came to work for state government, but. So you have worked in city manager forms of government there, and your current job is also a city manager form.
City administrator, but yes, very
right.
similar. Very
same,
similar
same, structure. Same type of situation.
Correct.
What's that like?
It's been great. This is the first opportunity. Now I worked with Cindy Ogle, which I'm sure you knew
sure.
as well.
Sure. And Earlene Teaster.
Correct. And then Earlene Teaster and Pigeon Forge.
And Pigeon Forge, right.
Correct. And now I'm working for Jennifer Moody. She is the city administrator here. In Pigeon Forge and Gatlinburg, both Cindy and Earlene were very approachable. But in my roles there, I was not working nearly as closely as I do now.
Right. That would have been more Marty's job, right?
Correct.
Right.
Exactly.
Right.
Yes. But it's been great. All three of them are very, very parks friendly,
right.
So it's very easy to get our point across, get our goals and our purpose across to all of three of the managers that I've worked with.
Well, I know two of those three of those individuals, and they're folks that have been in their jobs a long time, When I was in Gatlinburg, we had three city managers in the 4 years that I lived in town.
Oh wow!
So you know, wow. I was yeah, and so it was a extraordinarily volatile political situation, and city government reflected that.
Sure.
So we were able to get some things done, really kind of in spite of. Of the other leadership in town, actually, we were able to get some grants that were a good thing, and everybody got on board and got the initial grant money to build Mills Park, to sure. buy the property to do Mills Park. So got that going.
Excellent. And yeah. we actually, well, not we anymore, but Gallimer just renovated a massive renovation of Mills Park in that they created their first dog park, the Dog Park Dash grant. They were awarded $25,000 to help with that, but they just installed a brand new dog park at Mills Park, and then they had to reconfigure the disc golf course that was there. I helped install in 2007, and then once they did this dog park, we had to lose a couple of the holes, so we ended up doing a complete renovation. Of the disc golf course there. It is amazing, Mark, how many people play disc golf at all the facilities I've ever seen. There are people that come and play, and you don't notice them,
right.
but almost every single day, there are people on the course playing.
It's gratifying to,
group, but man, it's a very heavily invested group.
The last time I was in Gatlinburg had to be 5 or 6 years ago, but whenever I go, I go visit Mills Park. I visit Minot Park also. And it's an unbelievably beautifully developed little park, Mills
really
Park.
And Mills Park has just absolute gorgeous views of Mount Lacan as well.
Right.
So that's the big draw to Mills Park is that you've got the beautiful views for it.
Does that park used equally by tourists and locals?
Well, about, 7 years ago or so, Rocky Top Sports World came in. That's our travel team out-of-town tournament facility. And they built two fields within Mills Park. So we do have a lot of out-of-town guests that come in and utilize the fields for sure. As far as the park itself, again, a lot of out-of-town people will come and play disc golf or come and walk on the trails, but
right.
primarily used by locals.
Gotcha. Well, let's jump forward to your current role as the current president of the Tennessee Recreation and Parks Association. We call it TRPA. And there may be some listeners that aren't familiar with that organization. So tell us a little bit about that organization, first of all, and then we'll talk about what you're up to with it.
Sure. So TRPA is the Tennessee Recreation and Parks Association. It's basically our professional organization for all parks and recreation professionals in the state of Tennessee. I believe we have about 800 members throughout the state. It's municipalities, it's state government, it's all different facets of parks and recreation. Me being president, we have a volunteer board that gets elected each year. There's about four or five positions that get elected each year, and then there are appointed positions as well in that board. Basically, the goal for TRPA is to advance the educational opportunities and the networking opportunities to improve the lives of our members. So it's been around. This is the 71st conference that's coming up, and ironically, it's actually going to be coming up in Gatlinburg. So we are going to have our 71st annual conference, November 11th through the 14th, I believe. Let me make sure real quick. November 14th through the 18th, I'm sorry. So right. 14th through the 18th, we'll be in Gatlinburg. We'll be at the convention center there. And the big draw for the conference is to continue our education. A lot of our members have a certified professional TPRP. It's our Certified Parks and Recreation Professional certification that you need to keep CEUs, continuing education credits, in order to keep that certification. That's where these classes come in into play for our conference. So the goal of the conference basically is to allow an opportunity to take these classes, as well as network to find the newest trends, the newest classes, the newest opportunities that each of us have throughout the state. As you know, I mean, East Tennessee and West Tennessee are vastly different as far as just landscape and culture. And
right.
There are very, very different facets of all throughout Tennessee.
Right.
So being able to get all these professionals together is a wonderful opportunity to share different ideas and different thoughts.
Absolutely. So as an organization, you are concerned first and foremost with providing educational opportunities for your members so that they can continue in their growth in their profession.
Correct.
But you also get together to advance policy issues and to promote the profession to the society at large and to the legislature and et cetera. So talk a little bit about that.
That is exactly right. That is also what we're looking. We have an executive director. Her name is Candy Rollins. She is very involved in the legislative aspect of Parks and Rec. She's an advocate for Tennessee Parks and Rec in particular. One of our goals for this year as president is to try and reach the younger generation. A lot of our college students or our Parks and Rec professionals or professionals to be come into the degree program with a little bit of a different view of what they're expecting from parks and recreation. A lot of them are in sports management. A lot of them are thinking they're going to be playing, you know, they're going to be, you know, management for professional teams.
I see.
Or, you know, trainers for professional teams. And that's not necessarily the case. So they don't really think about municipal recreation until they get into the real world, with quotations, and they see that, oh man, this is really what Parks and Rec is like. So what we're actually looking to do is to create a young professional's interest section where the younger professionals that are in our organization already can really promote TRPA, can really promote Parks and Rec to our college students to show what the benefits are of being in this type of profession early on in their careers, and not just focus on the big, you know, grand scale parks and rec, rather looking a little bit closer to home.
Right.
And hey, this is the benefits of having a municipal job.
So when a these days when a local recreation and parks department is seeking to hire someone to fill a vacancy, whether it be the director's job or a programming person or whatever it might be, are you looking to the colleges and universities at this point?
For the entry level positions, yes. Generally, the director positions will require a little bit more experience.
Right.
Obviously, you want to be a certified, professional to be considered. Usually, you want to have at least a bachelor's degree, if not a master's degree, but more so the experience. That's what I've learned, as the new director. I mean, I've been in the profession over 20 years, and I'm learning a lot every day. It's far more important to have that experience along with the education,
right,
for the higher level jobs.
Right.
But for our program coordinators, that is where we're looking at colleges. We're looking at, young, energetic people to come in and just kind of instill that energy into the department. So our program coordinators, we just ended up hiring one here in Tullahoma actually this week. Great guy and has all kinds of energy and has all kinds of ideas. And that's the types of people that we're looking at and the types of positions that we're looking at the colleges for.
So in developing this younger professionals interest section, are you working with the professors and the leadership in the colleges and universities to do that?
We are. We've assigned, different schools throughout the state. Our board has talked with several of the different professors, and we're looking to just kind of just show our brand, to expose our brand to the colleges, expose what we are and what the benefits are of being a member of TRPA.
Right.
Any recreation student or sports management or related field receives a complimentary TRPA membership. So it doesn't cost them anything to join our association. And it really would be important, and it's a value to them just to see and to network with current professionals for potential job opportunities, and really just to see what our profession offers to them.
Right. There are two or three programs in Parks and Recreation Administration at the universities in Tennessee that are really excellent. Mm-hmm. And I know those programs are in constant touch with TRPA, and
sure.
But there may be some outliers.
Yes, I think so. And again, I mean, that's where we really need to expand our reach. I really feel like the bigger schools, like your UTK or
right.
Vandy or Memphis, any of the big schools, we have a pretty good in with. But a lot right. of our smaller schools, we really need to try and reach, and that's where we lean on our professional members, because many of them, have gone to these smaller schools, like I did at LMU, the smaller private schools or even the smaller public schools.
Right.
That's where we can expand our reach.
Yeah, historically UT Martin was one that trained a whole lot of park and recreation folks. And their focus was on the natural resources side of things, and people wanting to be park rangers and work in that aspect of parks and recreation. Mm-hmm. And UTK, of course, had graduated a lot of folks that still work in the municipal recreation and parks.
Sure.
Now, I was not aware that Vanderbilt had a program.
I believe they do, yes.
Okay.
To research for sure, but I'm not sure
right.
what they actually call it. But yes.
Right. Well, it used to be Peabody College and Vanderbilt were separate, and they merged, and that's where the physical education program came into Vanderbilt.
Correct.
So they may have developed that.
Right.
I was not aware. I'll have to look that into that myself.
Maybe of parks
and MTSU has a decent program right
they
now.
They do. Yes.
Right. Right.
Yes.
So what other kinds of issues and concerns are you working on as president?
The other issue is we have a nonprofit organization. It's the TRPEF. It's the Tennessee Recreation and Parks Educational Foundation.
Right.
It serves our professionals and our students in providing scholarships, either for educational sessions or actually monetary funds for the college kids. This past couple of years, we instituted a 21 by 21 initiative where we wanted to get at least 21 professionals certified as certified parks and recreation professionals. And in that initiative, TRPEF allowed scholarship funds to take for these professionals to take the exam. They paid for the exam. And through that, we ended up having, I think, 60 at this point, newly certified parks and rec professionals. So it was a tremendously successful program. And this is just the problem with the Educational Foundation is that there's just not enough exposure. So we're really trying to push that exposure and saying, you know, listen, this is the value of being a part of this foundation. It's very inexpensive to become a member. It's $10 a year.
Right, right.
For a donation to the foundation. And it's really a valuable asset for TRPA and for our younger professionals and our younger students to be a member of.
Right. And this is an organization that actually gives grants to professionals to further their educational development.
Correct. Correct. Right. As a nonprofit, yes, they allow three or four grants per year to our fellow professionals. So it's a great, great program.
So, Dave, as a looking at parks and recreation at the municipal level in providing services to the citizens of Tennessee, does the state of Tennessee do an adequate job in supporting what you all are doing? Not you particularly, but you as a group.
Sure.
Is the state adequately supporting what municipal governments are doing out there in parks and recreation?
I believe it is. We have two separate. There's several grant possibilities that we are able to apply for. The LPRF is our most common grant fund that municipalities utilize.
The local park and recreation fund. Right.
That's it.
Right.
Yes, sir. And they've actually recently have increased their requirements, I guess, as far as what it takes to be able to apply for these grants.
Tell me more.
Basically, what they've required now is that your municipality completes a master plan, and whatever project that you are applying for has to be a part of that planning process.
Got it.
Master plans are critical for just for future planning in your municipalities, for improving facilities and acquiring new land, increasing your programming, and just any capital projects as well.
Right.
So by requiring that for your municipality to apply for these LPRF grants, it's really improved all of the municipalities throughout the state. So with the grant opportunities and just with a good focus on improving the process of each municipality, I think the state does a very good job of supporting
that. Right. And I presume that the state has an adequate support system to give you technical advice.
They really do. It's the TDEC, which is Tennessee Department of Environment and Conservation. They have offices throughout the state that we can utilize, and they do a terrific job of being accessible, of being helpful. I mean, they do have the requirements, but if you give them a call, I mean, they'll be more than happy to help explain the process. They've gone through several different trainings for any professionals that are willing to take the class, just to see, okay, this is the requirement, this is the process in applying for these grants.
Right.
So they're very approachable, and they're a great resource for our municipalities.
So you have an ongoing master plan development right now in Tullahoma.
That's correct. Yeah, we just put our public survey out last week for our Parks and Rec master plan. I I've gone through the process both in Pigeon Forge and in Gatlinburg, completing the master plan in Pigeon Forge with the help of Lanny and some consultants, and then was right at the start of the process in Gatlinburg before I left. So I've actually been efforting that myself right now in compiling the data and getting all of the components of our plan together. Once our survey ends, which is at the end of February, I'll compile all the data for it, and then we'll be able to pull the master plan together so that Tullahoma will have the opportunity for grants in the future.
So what sort of survey instrument are you using to do this? Is this...
It's an online survey. It's SurveyMonkey. We have it on our Facebook page. I've got it all through our parks. It's at both of our community centers. We've got a QR code that you basically just scan.
How about that? That's very cool.
Yeah. Pretty nice. Yeah.
Yeah.
And then you can take the survey right from your phone. I took the survey when we were developing it. It took about 8 minutes to complete. You have to, whenever you're doing these, you have to be very conscious of people's time and make sure it's not going to be an hour process or a 30-minute process. While still getting the point across and making sure you have enough data points to where it's really valuable for the department. So it's going through social media, and then we've got flyers throughout the city at all of our parks, at all of our schools, and then at the two community centers to try and get as much feedback as we can.
And this is to gauge people's interest in what sort of programs and facilities that they're interested in seeing in Tullahoma?
It's how often they use the existing programs.
I see. Okay.
It's how we can improve the programs that we have. And it's, yes, what programs would you like to see? What facilities would you like to see the city implement in the future?
And how much they're willing to pay for those things?
That cost is absolutely involved in that as well.
Right.
Cost, location, types of facilities, everything basically goes into this survey.
And so I'm curious, in your training and your preparation for what you're doing, did you ever take a course in statistics?
I did take statistics. Yeah, that was part of my phys ed and health major. It's actually one of my favorite things. Being involved in sports in my entire life, baseball, football, hockey, I thoroughly enjoy doing the statistics. I thoroughly enjoy setting up tournaments. I mean, so any of that type of data, I really enjoy compiling.
All right.
So.
But this survey sort of data is a different kind of data than figuring out somebody's batting average.
Correct. Very true. Very true. But it's still percentages.
Exactly.
So, that skill is transferable, which is fortunate for me.
So interesting. Now, in Tullahoma, do you all have a consultant that you're working with on this project, or are you doing this in-home?
We are doing this in-house. We had the Walker Collaborative, which is a consulting firm, did our entire city land use plan. And there was a component for Parks and Rec that we're kind of basing our own master plan from. With having that data, with having me just go through the process previously in two separate cities, It just made it to where I felt like I was comfortable doing this.
Got it.
In-house.
Got it. So, and when do you anticipate that being completed, that
we're
project?
We're looking probably mid-March to have it complete. So we've got a good basis of it. We've got our outline together very well. We've got to wait, obviously, until the survey is complete. We'd like to do a public meeting with some prominent city figures. That would be another component that we have to get through, and then basically compiling the data and coming up with our solutions and our recommendations from that.
David, one of the perennial issues in Tennessee municipal recreation is the interface between the services provided by the sort of key municipal governments, maybe the county seats or the major cities, mm-hmm. or moderately sized cities, and the county areas, where we often have no county government board or department serving those areas. And so you have the county citizens, so to speak, that live outside the city limits coming in and utilizing the facilities of the core city, so to speak.
Sure.
And that raises lots of thorny issues about who's paying for it and whose opinion is really valued, and why are we even doing this for people that live outside the city kind of questions. I don't want to put you on the spot as far as what you're doing in Tullahoma, but that's an issue across the state.
It is. And I've got more experience, obviously, in Sevier County, being there as long as I had been.
Right.
And with there being the three main cities of Sevierville, Pigeon Forge, and Gatlinburg, there's a very strong sense of competitiveness. They were pretty separate for the majority of my career there.
Right
here in the last couple of years, they've been a lot more willing to work together. And that's been a very refreshing. I ended up doing a collaborative baseball league between Pigeon Forge and Sevierville during my time there, where we basically combined our youth baseball leagues and just worked collaboratively to get the schedule together, to get the umpires situated. Basically just had a use agreement between the two cities.
Right.
That's continued. The three cities are looking at a blue wave master plan that starts at the national park and goes all the way down through into Sevierville. The three directors, Lawrence Evans, the director of Gatlinburg, Lanny, of course, and then Bob Parker in Sevierville,
right,
have all been working very well together and very closely together. And that was really refreshing to see. I feel like Coffee County is very similar to that, in that we have Winchester, Manchester, and Tullahoma that are all really closely within the radius of each other.
Right.
Where I really like to...
All decent, all really, really fine departments.
Correct.
Yeah, right.
And I'd really like to pick, you know, AJ Fox's brain and just kind of, you know, try and work together to hit those spots that may not necessarily be in either of the city's zones, but are still in our county, and we still need to be able to provide service.
But still, county government is outside looking in.
Correct. It is. And, you know, I'm not sure exactly where our county government sits right now as far as our relationship.
Right.
I know our library is run through the county.
Sure.
So there are some facilities.
And of course, the schools are run through the county.
Well, now the schools are not. Now, the
no,
are
okay.
A different.
Okay.
There are Coffee County schools. Tullahoma has its own school system.
I see.
So we are completely separated and just have Tullahoma City schools.
Right.
So we mostly work just within the city,
right,
as far as the school system.
You know, looking back at my experience in Sevier County, while the Sevier County government didn't make any contribution to our budget in Sevierville or Gatlinburg, they did allow us to use their school buildings for programming.
Right.
And before we had a community center in Sevierville or Gatlinburg, that was critical. I mean,
oh, absolutely.
We could not have had a recreation and parks department in either place if we couldn't have had basketball leagues at the Pi Beta Phi Elementary School,
sure,
or at the Sevierville Middle School.
Right.
So those were bona fide contributions made by county government.
Without a doubt.
Yeah. And that's happening across the state, and that's an important thing to recognize.
Without a doubt. And, yep, and severe, and actually Sevierville Board or Sevier Board of Education was very, very easy to work with.
Right.
With all three of the municipalities, they put in all, you know, turf fields at all the high schools. They allowed us to use, you know, their track in Pigeon Forge when ours went out. I mean, the Mills Park actually is a joint use park,
exactly,
between the high school and, you know, the community.
Exactly.
It's partial city property and partial school property.
Right.
And they work really well together as far as coordinating events and, right, coordinating the maintenance of.
For those folks that travel to Gatlinburg, and a lot of people do, the Mills Park is as you just described, right next to the Gatlinburg Pittman High School. When I first moved to Gatlinburg in 75, they had just completed a comprehensive plan for the city, the whole city of all aspects. And it was because of that plan that we purchased the property there that is now Mills Park.
Right.
And so these master plans, and I'll have to share that master plan with you sometime. I maintain a copy of it here at the house.
I'd love to see it.
It's the city that Gatlinburg has grown into is a different place than it was envisioned at that time. Now, I don't think anybody could envision what's happened in Gatlinburg all the way to Sevierville and down to I-40.
No doubt. No doubt.
But it was thoughtful in that respect of having those community facilities, parks and rec, and schools adjacent to one another.
Sure.
is advantageous for so many reasons. You know, kids are at school already. If they want to participate in an extracurricular activity, there it is, right there. They can go play tennis or softball or whatever they want to do. So, So,
but I'll tell you, I mean, when I first came to the county, it was very busy. I mean, all the time there were people all over. It was crowded. The recession hit, kind of took a hit for us. We gradually came back and we're almost back to the time of when I first came. Then I was there on, right after Thanksgiving in 2016. I was at work when the fires hit.
Oh, yes, yes, yes. Yes.
That was something I'd rather never live through again, but it was amazing.
So where were you living at the time?
I was living in Seymour, which is about 40 minutes away, 45
right.
minutes away.
Okay.
I was at work at the community center that morning and I was off from work about 2 o'clock on that Monday. I left work and I couldn't see maybe 15 feet in front of me driving home. The entire town was filled with smoke. I thought, uh-oh, this doesn't look good. Came back home to Seymour, and I looked, I was keeping up with the news, keeping up with my friends and family up in Gatlinburg. And I walked outside and I had a view of the mountains from the outside, and it was all just red. I thought, oh man, this is
really at your, this is a nighttime view you're speaking of. You could see the fires going
night.
On.
I could see the fires at night. I ended up coming to work at about 6 a.m. the next morning. The entire town was shut down. I ended up getting through because I was like, I need to help, whatever
right.
I can at the center. And then the community center ended up being
a shelter, I'm sure.
Well, it initially was a shelter. But all the fire and rescue ended up utilizing the community center as their command center.
Gotcha.
And as I'm sure you know, I mean, we had help from all over the country.
Oh, right, right.
So just being able to coordinate that, we ended up utilizing our game room off of the bowling center as command center for the rescue efforts. So it was pretty incredible. It was an experience that I'll never forget. But I'd rather not go through it again.
We visited Gatlinburg the year after the fire and drove up Roaring Fork Road, which is where I lived while I was living last in Gatlinburg.
Right.
And the home that we rented when I was living there burned completely down.
Yep.
It was, with the exception of the chimney, was still standing, but completely.
And that's what's so bizarre is it would, I mean, the way the fire was airborne, and we were looking at 70 mile an hour winds. So you had, it just depended. I mean, it was completely random. You'd have a structure that was completely untouched. And then the structure right next to it was burned to the foundation. And all you saw was a chimney and the concrete slab.
And the parks in Gatlinburg didn't take any direct hits?
No, we thought that Minot Park was going to going to be impacted.
Because it's right next to the park.
It is right there.
Yeah.
And we were fortunate enough to where the winds changed and it was largely unaffected. Mills Park was far enough away that we really had no issues there. The one park we did get hit with was Herbert Holt Park.
Sure.
Herbert Holt is where our trout facility is. We lost all of our trout, and we did have some fire damage at Herbert Holt Park. But that was the only park that really was damaged in those fires.
Herbert Holt Park, do you correct me if I'm wrong, is there is a what used to be a sewage treatment plant. As you enter Gatlinburg, as you're driving up the spur from Pigeon Forge, not the new plant, but the old plant, is that, and there, that became a trout hatchery facility.
That's right, correct.
And that's and that's what Herbert Holt Park is.
That's what Herbert Holt is now. We do have a trout pier. There's a fishing pier, a handicap fishing pier, and a children's stream that people can come and fish in. And then there's a pavilion and a playground there as well. But yes, it is primarily utilized as the trout facility. So there are four runways, I believe, and they stock the trout there every Thursday. So.
Extraordinarily innovative to use that old facility and the settling ponds that were there for treating sewage and to kind of rehabilitate those and use them to raise trout in. Very innovative, thoughtful, creative way to do a business,
and unique too.
Yeah,
very
absolutely.
Unique. I mean, it's very rare that a municipality has its own trout facility. So
exactly
through the city employees, which
right.
is fantastic. But anyway,
David, you've been so nice to spend some time with us, and I wish you a lot of luck in your year as the TRPA president. Wish you all the best, and thanks for joining us today.
I appreciate that very much, and it's been a pleasure, and I really enjoy just being able to connect with all of the different people throughout the state, just being able to have an opportunity like this, and that's through TRPA and that's through your professional organization that we have. So it's been an honor, it's been a pleasure, and I appreciate it. And I'll talk with you anytime. So.
Wish you the best of luck in your new job there at Tullahoma.
Terrific. Thank you.
All right. Thank you.